If you own a property and have a second mortgage on it, and if you want to keep this property and get rid of the second loan, attorney Shaw Perali can help. Call 510-742-5887. Due to the uncertain economy, many people have settled their debts for a fraction of its value. It's recommended to use an experienced lawyer to deal with it. Shaw Perali is an experienced debt settlement attorney and has handled hundreds of such cases successfully. There are no upfront fees for debt settlement. Only when you win, you pay. Call Shaw Perali, attorney at law, at 510-742-5887 or visit yourdebtsettlementattorney.com for a free assessment. This is just an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is established by this ad. The law does not guarantee success. Call 510-742-5887.
Are you an H-1B visa holder? Do you have an I-140 petition approved or have an extension under AC-21 provisions? Are you on H-4 visa? If yes, we've got amazing news for you. As of May 26, 2015, you or your spouse on H-4 visa might be eligible for a work permit, aka EAD. And to apply, you need a lawyer who knows about H-4 visa issues. Lawyer Shaw Perali has been at the forefront of this fight for H-4 rights and has actually helped make this dream a reality. Now, his firm is ready to help you or your spouse get their EADs. Call 510-742-5887 or visit www.splgpc.com to apply for your EAD. This is an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.
And now, from the San Francisco Bay Area studios, KLOK proudly presents to you the prominent attorney Shaw Perali for the Shaw Perali Law Show, coming at you with over 50,000 watts of power. The Shaw Perali Law Show, where all your views matter.
Hello, everybody. Assalamu alaikum, sastika, namaskar to all the listeners. And today we have this is the Shaw Perali for the Shaw Perali Law Show. And I have today with me Franco and the board. And we have a lot of things to discuss today. And we will be taking the calls in 5 minutes at 408-912-5565. And anything I'm going to tell you today is my opinion. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. First of all, a major decision from the U.S. Supreme Court today. The new program, DAPA, which was proposed by President Obama and which was basically blocked by a federal court, now has been, the hearing is split at the Supreme Court, which means the lower court keeps the decision of blocking Obama on DAPA. Now, DACA is still there. DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival. DAPA was a new program that President Obama wanted to offer for those people whose children are born inside the United States and who are undocumented. Unfortunately, today, the decision shows the impact of a Supreme Court over the whole system. And we were having some hope on the fact that now the Supreme Court has only 8 people, with Antonin Scalia gone. So this decision is a big blow to President Obama, because he was expecting to give a work permit to 4.3 million people. And unfortunately, a lot of people who are counting on that now see their dreams kind of go away. Hopefully, there will be something new coming up, depending who's going to win the election. And that's one reason why people have to think before they vote. Everything they're going to do in the next coming month, a new Supreme Court justice will be decided. Depending how this guy turns out to be, or this guy, this judge turns out to be, the entire nation's law will be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, ultimately, if the case goes there. And if you have a conservative judge, we're going to see things going on a conservative. And conservative is no problem, personally, for me, but there are things that are very much not purely conservative, but very much into political, how to put it, they're almost kind of being legislating on the bench. So this is the decision of United States versus Texas, and of course Texas is the one suing on all the stuff. And when Texas sued, 26 states kind of joined them. Well, including Texas, it became 26 states, and they blocked DAPA. And ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court, had the U.S. Supreme Court reversed it, the President Obama's action under DAPA would have become law. But since now, the U.S. Supreme Court was split 4-4, that means even the lower court's decision remained, which was blocking the DAPA, and it's blocked now. So this is the sad news. Having said that, now there are many other things happening that I wanted to discuss. And I think we already have one caller. Let me take a caller, and Franco, I'm going to explain and take one other caller as we go, because I have a lot of information to pass today. I know I will get a lot of callers, so bear with us, please, ladies and gentlemen. This is Attorney Shapira. You're live in here.
Hi, Mr. Shah. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir. Hi, Ravi.
I just wanted to understand the implications of today's development and the subsequent development of the will that be under peril as well, in your opinion?
I didn't hear you. Are you talking about? I didn't hear you. I'm so sorry. Am I? Can you repeat?
The H-480. So will it be under peril?
Yes. That's a very good question. H4EAD will be under peril if Donald Trump wins, but we are talking about another year for it to go away. So probably those who got it, they won't take it away right away. So there's no way to predict that. But if it's Hillary Clinton, the H4EAD will probably remain. So let us pray. Okay. Let me take another caller. This is Shapra. Are you live in here? Hello. Yes, sir. This is Shah. You're live in here.
Hi. This is Nagesh Shah.
Again.
I have a question. Hi. I have a question about EAD and H-1B combination. I have my EAD, but currently I'm working on my H-1B. So recently, there is an extension filed on my H-1B. So if I go to India and coming back, I heard that H-1B gets expired. Is that true?
You go to India, you come back, the H-1B gets expired. What does that mean? You file an extension, but you also have an EAD, right?
Right. So, but okay. I don't have a visa stamped in my passport that has got expired, but my petition is valid until 2017 January.
Okay, you need to go and get a stamp on your passport, then you come back on the H-1B, then you use H-1B. Now, if you want to come back on AP, you don't need the stamp. You can come back on the advance parole. But no, the H-1B doesn't die. It's just the stamping. If you don't come back on H-1B through the stamping, then you are not coming on H-1B. Then you have to revive it. The only way to revive it is to leave and come back. So it doesn't die in terms of completely. If you want to revive it later, you can always go outside and get a stamp and come back. So, but half true, because if you don't come back on H-1, then you will not be on H-1. But you can always revive it later. You have to leave and come back, okay?
Okay.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rai. You're live in here.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question regarding H-1 renewal and passport expiry. So can I file for passport renewal after my H-1B renewal petition has been filed?
You mean after your H-1B petition has been filed, can you file for your passport renewal?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, because it has nothing.
H-1B documentation renewal petition will have all my old passport numbers, right? And after that, when I get I-7 and I-7 approved, and by that time I will have a different passport. Will that be okay?
Yeah, it's okay, because it has nothing really to do, as long as it's a genuine passport. Because the data they enter will be updated, really. H-1B doesn't really, the passport and all the stuff, they will update it accordingly. But yes, you can file. Actually, you should file for renewal first before you file for your H-1B extension, because there's a chance that they can stop the H-1B based on the time on the passport. So it's not a good idea to actually encourage going through the system of filing the H-1B first, then file for extension of the passport. But to answer your question, no, it won't be a problem. Okay?
Okay, cool. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shapra. Are you alive in here?
Hey, good morning, Shah.
Good morning.
Actually, I have a question. That my extension, H-1 extension was pending since November. We filed just before that, like October, and November was the expiry date of I-94. And yesterday it got denied. So I just want to know what are the options and if, okay, you know, at all I file again under premium new H-1. So is it okay to stay here till then?
Okay, what was the reason it was denied?
I didn't know because it happened yesterday. So we are waiting for, you know, to see the actual denial reason.
Technically, you won't be able to stay even if you file it again. You will have to leave now because you went out of status already. But unless you file an appeal, that's different. So why don't you do this? Get the denial, then give me a call at the office. Let me look at it. I'll tell you if you should appeal it or refile. Refile is always the best, but you probably will have to do consular processing now if you file an extension. Once it's approved, you have to leave the country and come back. And then it will kick in back your I-94. Do you have a stamp on your passport or the stamp is expired?
No, actually, I have H-4 stamped on my passport. So when I came here on H-4, after then, since then, I got my H-1. So I never went for the stamp, H-1 stamp.
Okay. One of the things you can do, you can leave and come back on H-4. And then from the H-4, then you file the extension based on H-1. Then you don't have to leave the country. Then you don't have to go for the H-1B stamping. But first get the denial, give me a call, we'll do a consultation, and I'll tell you what is the best option for you, because you don't want just to leave like that, and it will create problems. But, yeah, you will probably have to leave if you want to reset the H-1B. You can come back on H-4 or on H-1 if it is approved. But if you don't want to wait, you can go maybe to Mexico or something, or Canada, come back on the H-4, then you will be in status. Then if you file an extension on the H-1, you won't have to leave the country to get the stamping, okay?
Okay, I understand. And this is the best number, again, to call you back in case for the consultation?
No, you should call the office, 510-742-5887.
Okay.
And if it is a quick question, we will answer. Otherwise, they will set up a consultation for you, okay? All right?
Okay.
Okay, then. So can you please repeat the number 517-742-5887? 517-742-5887. Okay. 742-5887. And the area code is 510. Okay, this is our office number. Okay, good luck to you. Okay, thank you. Let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rally, you're live on air.
Hi, my name is Raj. I have a question on my EAD extension.
Yes.
I applied my EAD extension about 80 days ago, a little less than 3 months. And I have to get my EAD within the next 30 days, otherwise I'll go out of payroll. And what do I do now?
Well, if you don't get it within 90 days, you have a right to claim the interim EAD. But most of the time, it doesn't really work. But you can do that. You should go to the to make an InfoPass appointment. Go and tell them and see if they will put a stamp on your passport just to work. There's a rule which says 90 days if you don't get your EAD, you have a right to claim an interim EAD. Although they are trying to remove this law, the law is still there. So if you have reached 80 days already,
yes,
there's only 10 days. So I will recommend that you make an appointment right now and make the appointment fall after 90 days on the EAD application, and then from there, ask them for an interim EAD, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We have this huge variety of questions. And today, sad news, like I said, for DAPA, the Supreme Court decided today, well, pretty much split on it, on United States versus Texas, basically making it now the law for DAPA now is pretty much stuck, and nothing is going to move forward because of that in terms of DAPA. But DACA is still there, and we recommend that people check on that. And unfortunately now, people who are hoping to get a work permit based on that is gone. So having said that, now we have other news going on the front of immigration. For one, we had a video we made on a lot of situations where people are being laid off under H-1B. What happens to them, and what happened to the H-4 that are attached to them, and the H-4 EAD? All those issues are coming up. Plus, we are getting right now examples of denials of H-1B extensions, amendment, and youth transfers. They are very, very strict right now. Not only strict, some of them most of them are being denied wrongfully, in fact. But by the fact that you are denied, then you're stuck. Should you basically refile or do an appeal? So it depends on your situation. So if you have problems like that, give us a call at the office, 510-742-5887, 510-742-5887. So we wish all of you best of luck. Right now, things are very tight. The other thing that a lot of people have been asking me is on the new STEM OPT rule. A lot of students are suffering based on that. And many are still asking the question about, are consulting companies allowed to the consulting firm, consulting companies are asking what they should do for their candidates. The problem is that it's not very clear under the law, so everybody is getting confused. But looking at the 983 form, which is the most important part that is bothering people, it doesn't say that you cannot really put the student under a STEM OPT with a consulting company. All it says is very difficult, pretty much. So they have to meet the requirements. So one of the things that people are making mistake, they're focusing it as an employment. The STEM OPT is not technically to be an employment. It is supposed to be a training program. So the focus should be on the student, not on the employment. So as long as you can monitor the students, even remotely, monitoring means you can monitor by electronic devices, by a someone sitting with the students, etc. And I have a good article on that and on the YouTube also, explaining that. And also you explain how you're going to use the training plan and break it into, for example, first 6 months, that person is going to work on this and this, and that will enhance his or her knowledge in as an OPT. And the second 6 months, this is what he's going to work on. The third 6 months, you break it in this way, and you explain, and you can your consulting company and yourself can sign on it, so you will be okay. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem because technically they made it difficult actually for consulting company to really kind of get this STEM or OPT. So be careful when you're filing. And then also people who are going to who can sign on it is going to be liable. So be very careful. And that's why a lot of consulting company are refusing to sign. So I will recommend that. I would recommend that you check with an attorney to prepare this. And I have a lot of students calling, by the way, and they go line by line how to. I can't do that line by line, unfortunately, because this is very time consuming. All I can do is tell you quickly what to do. And if you want us to handle the case for you, just give us a call, 510-742-5887. So now, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is Attorney Shah Parali. And if you have any questions on immigration, feel free to call the studio line, 408-912-5565, 408-912-5565. And also, please make sure that you have a situation where you can understand the whole how the system works now for people, especially students coming here. They are really kind of sometimes people are, I know there's desperation, people are despair, and people are in situations where they actually want to stay in the United States, and they'll do anything, unfortunately, I mean anything, really literally anything, to stay. But sometimes it's not a good idea to do that. So be very, very careful which path you're taking to stay, because that can really backfire down the road. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Parali, you're live on air.
Hi, this is Shashi speaking.
Shashish, how are you?
Hi, doing good. So I am currently on a L1B visa from a company.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are the chances that are like, my query is basically, can my company apply for EB1 category for me? I'm a technical specialist as such, and I'm not on a L1A, I'm on a L1B visa.
Well, the simple answer is yes, if you qualify, but you need to meet the requirements of the qualifications. For example, you have to have worked as in a managerial position in India or overseas in the past 3 years for 1 year. They have to move you to a higher level position in terms of that what they are filing for you, and and then they have to meet all the other requirements, like a qualifying relationship between the companies. The short answer is yes, actually. I wrote a lot about that, and we have done many of those cases. But the question first is, do you qualify to be in the L1? And number two, will the lawyer be able to know how to do it? So people are doing it a lot right now. We even did a video on that, how to move basically from those L1B to EB1C, and even... Even people on H1 can do that, but it requires good writing and explaining, and you meet the requirements. But yes, you can do that if you qualify.
Okay, sure. And at the same time, if my company goes for EB2 category, after 5 years, will I be not allowed to stay here? Because is there any rule that, you know, being on L1B, I should immediately return back after 5 years?
Okay. This is a very good question. What you should do first, they have to move you to L1A, but they have to file that L1A 6 months prior. So basically, they will file a test L1A where they will have to prove you're managerial. Then, and it has to be filed 6 months, more than 6 months before it expires. Once it's approved, then they can upgrade you to L1A, and they will give you another 2 years. And then in the meantime, they can look in the EB1C, or they can file EB1C directly if you qualify. So it's very, very technical, so the lawyer has to know how to do that. And many lawyers do it, actually, because they know how it works. But if the company needs help, just give me a call and I can do it for you. But it has to be done really fast. When are you reaching the fifth year?
I have completed 1 year, so I still have around 4 years on my L1B.
Oh, okay. It's kind of early for you. Okay, then it's a good timing to look into EB1C, and if they need help, just give me a call at the office. We'll handle it. We are doing a lot of EB1C recently, and the number is 510-742-5887. Okay?
So, definitely I can give you a call, but my last question is, like, can you guys file for me on EB1? Because... Is it something like another company is filing, right? Or should it go through my original company who has employed me?
You cannot file with another company unless those companies are related to the company in India where you are working. For example, it has to be done. If it is an EB1C, we need the company basically to petition for you. And even we become the lawyer, the company still has to back us. Now, you can still file an EB1C with another subsidiary. For example, let's say this company in the United States file a case for you, and they have another branch here. That other branch can file for you, but not a new company, because you won't have the 1 year. Otherwise, you have to leave, get another 1 year, and then come back. Okay?
Oh, okay, sure. Great. Thanks a lot for the info.
Good luck to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the L1A, because this is being the hot thing right now, L1A, EB1C, because this is probably the only way for people from India to really get a chance to get a green card faster than waiting like 20 years. Because EB1s are current, and most people who qualify and get it within 8 months to 1 year are getting a green card. So please give us a call if you need help on the L1A or EB1C, 510-742-5887. Check our YouTube channel. We have some very, very good presentation on L1A and EB1C. Let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rally. You're live in here. Hello? Hello? Okay, sorry, I lost the call. I apologize for that. So, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to call. The number to the studio today is 408-912-5565. And we are today Thursday, June 23rd. And if you're hearing this show on Monday, that means it's a recorded show. And next Thursday, hopefully, I will be back with live show. But for those who missed the show, they will be able to catch it again on Monday from noon to 1. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air.
Hi, Sharp. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir.
I'm on F1 OPT stem extension currently, which has started, 17-month stem extension, which has started just this May. And my wife is on H-1B visa with a different form, and she has her I-140 being processed now. So if I apply for 7 months additional extension now, I would get two chances for my H-1B, which was not selected this year for me. If I don't, I will have only one option. But I always have a backup of moving to my wife's EAD. Do you think, because I-983 form and all the additional, considering all the additional restrictions, do you think it will be better to apply 7 months extension or not?
That's a million-dollar question. It depends on your situation. The way you put it, you're right. It's a good idea to file for the extension, but it has to be filed 150 days before the 17-month expires. Otherwise, you won't get it. So if you already passed 150 days, then you can forget about it. You won't be able to. When is your 17-month expiring?
It expires sometime in 2017, and so it's I have a lot of time. My 17-month extension just started this May.
Yeah, at this point in time, just continue on your 17-month. Don't touch it, because we don't even know what will happen, because like I said earlier, the caller was calling. If we change government, that means we change the party, we don't continue with Democrats, this law will be gone too. Because this was pretty much another one of those laws which was passed kind of under discretionary executive power. So at this point in time, it's too early to consider that. But at least you're lucky you have the 17-month, which is better than the 24-month. So you should enjoy that. And ultimately, if things are not doing well, once you reach before the 150 days, make a decision. But my idea, I'm telling people, try your 7 month extra, and if it doesn't go through, since you will still have, hopefully within the grace period, then you can just do H4 EAD. But make sure if you get the 7 month extension, you comply with the new rules. And if you cannot comply, then move to H4 EAD. Okay?
Okay, sure. One small correction here. If I need to apply for 7 months extension, I need to apply before this August, not next year.
Yes, I think you have to apply before that, and then 150 days rule has to apply before. You have to have this. I think you have to apply before this August. I'm not sure on that. I have to double check. But yeah,
yeah,
I
have
you're right
to,
on that.
I have to take a decision right now itself. I can't wait.
Yeah.
If I miss this boat, it's like I got missed the additional 7 months.
Yeah, yeah, I agree that, with you. Why don't you apply if you can comply and meet the requirements? If you're working with a direct client, there's no issue involved. Apply for it and
directly,
get approved.
I'm working for a good company in Bay Area, so there is no issue. All my colleagues are applying. I'll definitely get it.
Okay, then I will recommend you apply for it, because anytime you can always shift to H4EAD if you want. So things because if things are not going well for the 24 month, just go ahead and shift it. Okay, so right now it's a good idea to apply in your case. Okay, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. You're welcome. Let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rai, you're live in here.
Hello, sir. My name is Manish.
Hi, Manish. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. What can I do for you?
Sure. So I have just two questions. One is, currently I'm working for a company, and I have like still enough time to spend on H-1B here, like 3 years or more. But I'm eligible. I mean, I kind of, in terms of a skill set, I can be eligible for L1A too, because in my past, I played the role of managers, and I had reported. But here, in the current company, I work as an individual contributor and working on H-1A visa in the U.S. But the company has branches in India too. So there is, I mean, if any, you know, thing required, I can go and spend some time in India and come back. So now, because in EB-2, my green card has been filed in EB-2 and it's I-40 approved, and it's long wait there. So I don't want to wait for like 12, 13 years. So what are my options to, if I have to move in L1A? What I can do, I mean, you can suggest me all the possible options, like, you know, can I convert my H-1A to, and again, I don't want to lose my H-1B status. I want to keep
okay.
as it is until
okay,
I
okay,
get
okay. Let me stop you, because I cannot list all the options on the radio. I have too many callers. But all I can say, if you qualify under EB-1C, you should take it and try to file for it. In order to know that, you need to kind of sit down with the lawyer there or give me a call at the office. I can go over your case and tell you if you do qualify for EB-1C. If you do, you should take directly the EB-1C, get the green card. And going to L1A is no use. It's better to go directly to the EB-1C if you qualify for it. But, technically, if you were in a managerial position and you moved to the U.S., now, and within the past 3 years, you had this managerial or executive position, and now they put you in a new managerial position, that you might qualify for the EB-1C. But again, we have to look at how the things are going, because people think, oh, just because I'm a manager there, I will be a manager here, I get EB-1C. No, you still have to meet the other requirements of the EB-1C, including the company has to qualify in relationship. You have to have someone who is within the, basically they have to move you here, etc., and they have to offer you the job in an executive capacity. So in order for me to assess it, I have to look at your situation. But from what you're telling me, it seems you do qualify. Going on L1A is no purpose. Why would you do that? It's better to stay on H1B. But if you can get directly on the EB-1C, yes. Or if you have to leave the country, spend 1 year, and then come back and get the EB-1C, or come on the L1A, then do EB-1C, yeah, of course, you should take that option too. But for me, just to tell you which one is the best, is hard on the radio. You might be able to give me a call. We can do a consultation at 510-742-5887, and I'll be glad to do a personal assessment for you. Okay?
Okay, sir. I'll call on the bureau this number.
Okay. Okay,
and just one question, because only reason that I was willing to move, or like, you know, thinking to move from H-1B to L-1A, because H-1B, for this company, I just worked in U.S. I didn't work in India, because H-1B, I mean, when I initially came in U.S., it was from different company. So for the current company, I just worked in U.S., not in other company, as a managerial position. So I think EB-1, for that, I think they need, I have to work in different countries, right?
Yes. You have to work outside. It can be Canada, it can be other country. Like I said, your case is a little bit tricky, so be careful what you do so that you don't lose everywhere. Give me a call, because sometimes
sure.
people make mistakes, they leave, and then they cannot come back, okay? Okay?
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Sure.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Sharp Rai, you're live on air.
Hi. I have a question. I'm an Indian-born Canadian citizen working on H-1B, and I got my I-140 approved just 1 week back. Under
yes.
EB-2, I have two questions. If I immediately leave my employer, will I keep my priority date? The second, will my Canadian citizenship help in getting the green card faster?
Okay. Two excellent questions. First of all, if you leave your employer, will you keep your priority date? Yes, you can. You will keep your priority date even though they revoke your I-140 technically. But there are other issues attached to the I-140, like, for example, extension of your H-1B where you need the I-140 to be alive. So to answer your first question, yes, you keep the priority date. The second question, no. Unfortunately, your country of birth is a controlling part. So no matter what country citizenship you get, you will still be under the rules of Indian waiting time. So unless your spouse or your spouse is of a different country of birth, you will still be stuck under the India and China, if whichever country you're from. Okay?
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shaparari. You're live on air. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if I have more callers now, but I'm going to talk a little bit about, we had a lot of good questions on L1A, EB1C, H1B, termination. So it's bad news and good news going on there. And of course, we have this sad news coming from the U.S. Supreme Court today and DAPA, which now is pretty much dead. Even DACA, which is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival, which was set in 2012, is still alive. All the other proposition of President Obama was kicked out pretty much today when the Supreme Court upheld the Texas federal court, basically blocking this ability to give work permit to so many people. So having said that, now let us talk a little bit about a different topic, because this is coming really fast to us too. I was discussing last week also that a lot of uncertainty in the market, and now we have also the Brexit, which is the Britain trying to get out of the European Union. We don't know. It seems like they're going to stay, but I don't have the exact data at this point. I didn't check it, but probably will have the answer in the few hours. But what it did is kind of created a big friction now in the UK population, which is ultimately shaking the world in terms of economic issues. And that's what it's going to do, is going to actually create further issues for the people in terms of the situation of basically how things are going to go into the next few months and the elections in the U.S. Things are really kind of sour around the world right now. So we are expecting some kind of situation where there will be a downturn a little bit at least. And a lot of people are calling us because they're losing their job. We can help you, for example, on debt settlement. This is another thing that we do. And debt settlement is to basically get rid of your debts for a fraction of its value. For example, your $100,000, we might be able to reduce it to $10,000, $20,000, and you don't have to pay the rest. And if you need help, give us a call, 510-742-5887. The website is yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. Recently, we've been getting very good deals, even for second mortgages when the houses market is still going up. We're still getting deals in the past few days. So please give us a call, 510-742-5887. Check, we can help you with litigation debts. We can help you with credit card debts. We can help you with many, many other issues when it comes to debt. So, and it's not debt consolidation we're talking about here. It's debt settlement. You pay one time, you get rid of it. And you don't want to wait on the stuff and not to pay, because they will sue you. And once they get a judgment against you, you're pretty much stuck. You will have to pay pretty much all your life. So make sure that you do not miss on that. And let us know if you need help, 510-742-5887. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Shaparai, you're live on here. I think I lost the call. I'm so sorry. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. We got calls back to back, and ultimately, I have to kind of pause the message. And I think we have another caller. This is Shaparai, you're live on here.
Yeah, hi. My name is Praveen. Okay. My wife had worked for 1 month in 2014 on H&B, and right now she got a full-time job. So she's going to convert into L2B visa to H-1B visa. Does she need pay slips, all that stuff, since she's done L2, right? So she got EAD and EAD got expired, but she never worked on EAD.
Okay, I'm confused. Which visa is she on right now? H1 or L2?
Yeah, so from last year, she's on L1B, L2 visa, L1 dependent visa. But 2014, she got her H1B, and she worked for 1 month. After that, she converted to L2 EAD. There was some job issue, and after that, she didn't work. Now she got a full-time job, so they're applying for L2 to H1 transfer. So do they care about previous pay slips, all that stuff? She's on L2, right?
No, not really, because she already shifted to the L2. If she had not shifted, then it would be a problem. So let me... it's not a problem, actually, because you already shifted to L2. But why would you go an H1 when you can use the L2 EAD? That's another question I know.
Yeah, because if she goes on, if she works on L2 EAD, the husband, spouse L1 visa is getting expired by end of this October.
Oh, I got you. Okay, yeah, this should be no problem. She should be able to revive the H1 without having any issues. But if you're having problems, give me a call at the office. We'll guide you. Okay, 510-742-5887. But you should not have any problem, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
So I have one more question. Can I ask you?
Uh-huh. Go ahead quickly. I have another caller. Yes,
sure. Sorry. So my H1B is somehow my the consultant didn't respond for RFE. It was a second RFE. He never responded. He's not picking up the call. So eventually it will go mostly case get cancelled, right?
Yes, if you don't answer the RFE, it becomes cancer. But there are many other problems, too. When you don't answer an RFE, they start putting a red flag on your cases. So be very careful. Try to find a way that they answer the RFE. And otherwise, you will have some issues, okay?
Okay. So how long does VHS give maximum RFE time frame? Is it only 3 months or does it vary?
No. It depends on the RFE type. But right now, they can give only 1 month, 3 months. But you have three more days if you're mailing it. But most of the time, maximum is 90 days. So it's three months, yeah. Okay? Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Good luck to you. Let me take one more caller, and then we will pass to Amit. This is Shapra. Are you alive on air?
Hey, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for the call. This is very, very informative.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
So the two questions I have is one of the previous callers was asking about he got a I-140 and then he wants to move job, and to that you mentioned you can retain the priority date, but the problem is with the extension. So what do you mean by that? If let's say he gets 3 years extension and before his new company firm is approved, the previous company revokes the previous firm and 140. What happens in that case?
Well, the situation is twofold. One, if you are able to do the transfer, which is also an extension included, before they revoke your I-140 or perm pending 365 days, you don't have any problem to move to the other company. I'm talking beyond 6 years here, okay? Before 6 years, no problem. But if at the time... you think, because people think because they got an extension. For example, let's say you're working with company A, you got an extension up to 9 years with company A because of the I-140 is approved. And you think that 3 years you can carry it from forward to company B. That's not true. You can only carry new time based on the I-140 at the time of the transfer, the I-140 is alive. If the I-140 dies, you cannot transfer, actually. So... as long as you stay with A, you can enjoy that. But if you move to B, and in the meantime, the company A finds out before your transfer gets approved, they cancel your I-140. You're stuck. You have to stay with B, A, or move you won't be able to even move. So that's what I was talking about. And as for priority date, it doesn't go away even if the I-140 is canceled. There is one case law where it did happen, but it's a very weak case law, and it doesn't really have a lot of bearing, and it doesn't even consider it as a published decision. So that's what I was talking about there, okay?
But if the transfer is successful, if H-1B transfer is successful, and then later after I move to B, if company A revokes the 140, is that okay? Or that also?
Yeah, it is okay. What I was talking about here is before the transfer is approved.
Right.
Once it's approved, you're fine, but you're still stuck only 3 years and you cannot move from out of B. So you need another I-140 to extend. But once it's approved, they give it to you. Even the I-140 is withdrawn after that. You can still enjoy the time you're given to you from B. But you just have to be careful because the next time you're going to do an extension, you will need a new I-140 to be approved, okay?
Got it.
Right. Okay. Good luck to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to take more callers now. I'm just going to have Amit in a few. But before I go, I wanted to kind of recap what I talked about today. Few things. One important thing we had today is the DACA decision and DAPA, and that the President Obama planned to expand the program, which was blocked by federal court. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court kind of split on it and ultimately made it now impossible to move forward on that. That's one thing. And also, a lot of students calling us and don't know what to do. Consulting company, 983 STEM OPT extension. Pretty much, yeah, it is hard on people who are using consulting companies to use that. But it's not impossible. It just has to be done properly. So if you need help in preparing it, just give us a call. We can arrange for working on your case. 510-742-5887. Website to check, attorneyonair.com, attorneyonair.com. And by the way, now we have some podcasts going on. You can check it on our website, and we have it on iTunes. Please check it because a lot of, even that show, I put it on iTunes now. So you can pass it to your friends. And also, there are a few things happening out there, and we need your help. One of them is a donation I have for this school, and I put the link. I will put the link probably on the website. Please help us. And it's North Star School. And also, just to let people know, this Monday, if you're listening to this show, the Monday, that means the recorded show. And if you need help with anything, immigration or debt settlement, feel free to call us, 510-742-5887. And anything I'm telling you today is for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. And Amit, are you there?
Oh, hey, Shai, yes, I'm here.
Hi, Amit. So I'll let you continue with Franco. And thank you, and have a nice weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Ramadan again, and we will be back on Monday from noon to 1, and on next Thursday, 10 to 11. So I'll let you continue, Amit, and explain on debt settlement and real estate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Shah, and Sasrikaal Adho Namaste to all the listeners. Hope you guys are having a good Thursday morning, and yeah, I'm here to give you a little bit brief on what's happening in the real estate and let you know a little bit on the debt settlement as well. Let me give you my details if you have any questions or anything that you're looking to need help in real estate market right now with anything, any questions or concerns, call me. Number is 510-299-9361. Our firm Epic Brokers is located in Fremont, and we are open from Monday through Sunday, Saturday, Sunday by appointments. And, you know, we have a lot of listings available that I'm going to go into details real quick. So that way, I got to see a property, you can definitely call me and let me know, then we can help you out in getting you pre-approved and, you know, make your dream come true. As the perfect market is right now, because the rates are coffee, they're under 4%. We just qualified somebody actually for a first-time home buyer, so he got a perfect rate with a good score in that range. So you know, it's a good time. I got to see. I mean, $700,000 the Makan ladder. Your payment is going to be somewhere around, I would say, $2,800 with the down payment and everything on that. So I mean, it's a good time to buy because affordability is there. And, you know, so the listings that we have right now is very good listings in good areas in which if you are looking to purchase, you know, with good school district and everything as well. So we have actually two listings available in Hayward. We have a duplex coming up, which is a four-bedroom, two-bath, and it's a two-bedroom, one-bath on each unit. Total square feet on the duplex is 1950, and the lot size is about 14,000 square feet. In Hayward, and it's you know, very close to all the freeways and everything, and the current rent coming up is around $3,200. The market rent is about $35 for the four bedrooms in Hayward right now. So, you know, you guys are definitely in the positive cash flow. The price we are looking for on that is 680. Okay, and it's a good price, you know, for the duplex. Being a rental market, this is the perfect market for the rental and the good property to start with to create your own portfolio on that one. So if you're looking for duplex, you know, properties like that, give me a call. We have a very good experience with it. We also do the property management in our office too. So we can definitely help you out in the whole things on that one. The second listing we have is also an investment property. It's a single family house in Hayward, which is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. And this one is close to Mission and Jackson. Good part of the neighborhood in Mission on Hayward. And this one is currently rented out as well. And the rent coming up is around $2,500 for this one. So if you're looking for, you know, two great properties in Hayward, this is the perfect one. Then we have a single family house for sale in Tracy, which is 3-bedroom, 3-bath and 1998 built, 1400 living area for $385,000. Then we have a listing available in Stockton, which was a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath, 2200 living area, double story, 2005 built, for $300,000. And then we are doing an open house this Sunday from 12 to 4 in San Jose, single family house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and 1500 living area. That one has a big lot size too, 8800 for 805. And the open house is from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. The address is 4266 Meg Drive. It's MEG Drive in Hayward. I'm sorry, in San Jose. And then we have a listing available in Union City, which is a single family house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1400 living area, 6,000 lot size for $750,000. So we have a lot of listings available, and agar to see, you know, investment wale bhi soch rahe, you are planning to sell the properties, what you call multiple properties again, you have a lot of questions that, you know, I don't want to pay any taxes and all this stuff on the investment property. We do actually a lot of those because we do the property management. Plus, we have great connections with the 1031 exchange companies, you know, in which you don't have to pay any taxes if it's an investment property. You want to actually upgrade your investment from single family to the apartment complexes or anything like that, which is a likewise property. We have done so many transactions in 1031 exchange in which you don't have to pay any taxes on the capital gain. Agar tuhanu koi bhi question hai kaude vich, you can contact me. Since, you know, time is less here, I cannot give you more details on that one. We can take care of that and we can help you out because we have done so many of those transactions in which if you have multiple properties you're planning to buy or you want to sell at the same time, see, oh, kafi transaction kiti hai gane, and we know how to take care of that from our standpoint. So give me a call for any of your needs. If you want to sell, you want to buy investment properties or anything like that, number is 510-299-9361. And like I said, we have a lot of listings available. We can definitely help you out. And on top of that, I guess article, you know, the you have the properties, you are planning to refinance, but for some reason, you know, you have two loans on it and your credit is not good, and you want to settle those second loan. You know, the best company to reach is, you know, for Shopper Ali, because they can definitely help you out with the transaction, and they have definitely helped my clients out as well. Taki, you know, they can settle your second loan in which they don't charge anything up front, and you know, they can definitely make your the transaction very smooth and easy for you guys. So if you are need any help on the you know, any tax lien, judgment liens, anything that is bothering you for not getting the equity out of your house, if you do have equity and you're facing a little bit of hardship because of that, they can definitely call you on that. And for them, number is 510-742-5887. They have a strong team who can help you out on that and definitely make it easier for you. So let me give you the recap on the listings that I have available right now. If you want to buy, we have what, duplex in Hayward for 680. We have a single family house in Hayward for 500K. We have a single family house in Tracy for 385, and we have a single family house in San Jose for 800K. Then we have a single family house in Union City for 750K. So a lot of properties available, perfect timing. If you don't want to pay any taxes as well, if you're planning to sell, call me, we can help you out. Number is 510-299-9361 for debt settlement, Shopper Ali. Number is 510-742-587. That's all I have for you guys today. Call me, number, and we will be able to help you. And that's all we have, and have a great day. We'll be back on Monday. Thank you.